This is Channel 2 Right and beginning of the visit with Ms. Chitty this Sunday afternoon, the 8th of August, 1971. Channel 2 Right and a continuation of the beginning of the visit with Ms. Chitty this Sunday afternoon, the 8th of August, 1971. Frankie came over with his new car and brought the whole family, just a car full of all things. Channel 2 Right and beginning the visit Miss Chitty this Sunday afternoon, the 8th of August, 1971.
And I tried to think of something else and packed more in. The more packed in, the further up it comes. And of course, I backed off and they said, I'm not eating anything. Well, what's the use to eat it and then punish yourself by disposing of it? Because that's weak when you know when you have to vomit. And that's a heart condition. I wouldn't let your heart go.
Well, I bet you you've had some good card games, though. I was surprised you weren't playing cards last night.
Well, we hadn't been too up here on coming in and getting groceries this week. And it was so hot. And
well, I forgot about that Friday or Saturday night when you got to get all those, where y'all go? Williston?
No, so we go to,
East Marion.
North Marion. That, what's it called?
Bartell, yeah.
North Marion Market.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
And that's where we don't take the bus if we go off on the bus thing. Where Frankie carried his aunt to the bus yesterday a week ago. I can't think anymore.
Well, let me tell you, I can't either.
My mind's just in a web black. And I wish to hurry up and clear up, because I say there's things I want to think of, things I put up, and I can't no more think where I put them.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I'm
going to
pick
the
little
black
Frankie carried around and bring it out on
the
picnic table,
and
it's too hot for you to
walk through. Yeah. You know, I'm getting worse.
You're all cut up here.
Yeah. Well, I know you miss Aunt Rosalie.
Yes, I miss her a whole lot, but she was just about worked down this morning. She was getting where she couldn't hardly go. Stop like she was. And her feet and legs began to hurt her. And
yeah.
Well, she had kidney trouble too. The doctor went home on Saturday. Sunday night she passed out on them.
Is that right?
I think so much. About 2 hours she was out. And I had to rush her to the doctor.
For 2 hours?
And, well, you've got so much on your mind. She knew she left me home, but in good hands. She said, she wasn't afraid I wouldn't be tended to, but she just had to go home and have something done for herself.
Oh, yeah?
She was complaining with the back crossed and sweeping. The house got to sweeping 2 times a day. And when the washing got ready where she could, she'd do the iron. She done the mending. And yesterday he couldn't find nothing but some of his new underwear to put on. While he didn't get washed in the side seat. Don't matter too much. They didn't come back.
They didn't stay long, did they?
I see him plastic coming, I think.
So she kept everything straight while she was at it.
Yes, the washing and cooking two different meals and fussing because I didn't eat every mouthful of it.
Yeah.
When you eat, because you feel like it's coming back, I think it can stop.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll cause you more trouble. You put it down, and it gets so fur, you think it's about filled up by then. I try to think of something else, but you keep going to buzz up. She's worked all after she got up, had to make a living herself. She learned to work, but she worked for 20 some odd years, I think. Oh, it's 22 or 24 years up in the glass plant in Jacksonville, making jars and bottles.
Just take it out there and let everybody make
them. No, sir, it was a plant. Was a made the jars, and she worked there when it wasn't nothing but a building, boards run up straight, and no board floors. And after that, they got it built up. A solid wall. No, you can't go now. You come back.
Be back. Just go
come
ahead.
On, there's some air in coming through there.
Yeah, that's nice.
And of course she worked there all these 20 odd years, filled the fifth out there, because that was stand up work all the time.
Oh, it was.
Sometimes she'd work all night long, well, she'd go home about daylight, eat her breakfast, lay down, correct.
Yeah.
Well, let's do this, do that, do this, do that. And her husband, he was working at the seaboard shop, so he worked his stuff down. And they called in from work one evening. Well, she knew he was sick all along. But instead of listening to the doctor like he ought to, taking his medicine like he ought to, he goes and buys him some fresh sausage. And of course, he eats him for supper. He comes in and sits from his staff. So she had to go to work tonight. She'd have to go to work at 3 o'clock in the evening. Well, he was left there to do around and do what he could do. He had quit over at the shop because he got so he couldn't work over there. And, of course, drinking way back, he had quit drinking. But too late, I'm afraid, at his age. He'd make good wages. And he lived in an old, at one time, what was called a dairy. Just part of it, well, it was cemented, no, except one place, that was the stall, where the people done the milking, you know, where they kind of boarded that up. I filled it in with something. I think I might have kind of got it cemented too. And used it for a kitchen.
Yeah.
Well, later on, they opened that stall up, made a long out the way, made the kitchen a little longer. Well, there's a kitchen dining room and a bedroom. It had a bedroom in on this end, another bedroom. Where they had places, you know, for keeping the feed and the milk and
yeah.
everything.
Yeah, some of them are nice places.
But it was an old boarded up house.
Yeah.
Just straight up and down where the board.
Not much money in it.
I don't know how much they put in it. And I don't think she got anything out of it when she had it tore down. But she go in from work now instead of going in and eating her breakfast and laying down resting, she kept her rocking chair out on the little back porch her husband had built. Sat down and watched them build the house that she finally had to give up. Sell. She had two lots besides the one the house was on. See, he had quite a bit of land in there and he sold it off in lots. And he kept, he had three boys. He and Herman and Leslie. Well, nothing to do them, but they must sell their lots, you know, and get the money out of it. Bow, rattle, trap, cars. And they had nothing in them, and that was gone, no cars either. That left the two girls and Rosalie's lots, you know. Well, they had one lot right on the corner. They lived on North Canal Street and 13th. North Canal. And
I'll be right back.
Now what you what you wanting for?
And
this.
She had took a seat there on her porch.
And watched them frame up her house instead of taking her time to sleep and rest. She watched them fix that house.
Yes.
And of course, whenever we got the house built and everything, why it was put up by one of these frame house companies. I can't think which it was now, but
well, there's so many of them.
But she got this one put up and got everything cleared off of this. Then come the niggers was buying, other people were selling their property around, you know, and the niggers was buying this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
So she sold these other two lots and put the money in the bank. Of course, that was the girls' lots that she was selling, so she's going to be sure of that. Then the niggers began to build again, yonder, and round. Well, there was one house where her daughter was living behind her. That house, and there was two other block houses built out off 14th Street and North Canal running, you know. And 13th Street was over here. Well, her house and Lewis moved his house. He put money enough into one of these moving construction companies, you know. Had his house, we bought him a lot out.
Oh, he did.
Bought him a lot out from town.
Yes.
Had his house moved over there.
He got ahead of him.
And, well, in the long run, he got more than the rest of them just selling the places, you know.
Yeah.
So, she turned this house, getting too close, and chalked up in there with colored people. There was lots of white people already had built their homes, you know. But the niggers was buying and this, that, and the other, and building up on that street back over there. down that way. And I don't know, I won't be positive about it, but I think she said the niggers had just about taken over their school and their church then. People, white people were getting tired of it, you know. They'd sell out and leave. And I was about to leave her right in this way was all niggers. Might have been a white family up there and one back over there. And one across North Canal, across from her. But about all the white families was on that big block, you see, before they make the streets and all. And she turned it over to a company that would sell it for her and collect rent. She says, so far the colored family hasn't yet fell down on paying the rent. Says, and they put it in the bank for her. Well, that, you see, is growing.
Yes.
And then when she quit working over at, well, she done quit working over North Canal, I mean over at the glass plant when she decided to give up a place. And all the children had married and was all fearing yonder. And she said she didn't want to stay there because couldn't keep none of them there with her on the count of their children and the next children, little children. But she said right across in front of them, it had one time been owned by white people. But they sold it. And said the family that lived in there, and she was a colored school teacher, and she couldn't get regular work, you know, and her grandson, he had been kept out on a kind of a sickness. He was another one of them, the doctor said not give too much sugar. He couldn't have too much sweets, and he couldn't have salt. They'd have to get the salt like I use now, imitation, you know, and salt his food with that. And he had to have a certain amount of milk, a certain amount of juice, but he couldn't drink it, just drink it down. And in that way, the finally pulled him through. Supposedly says he can eat salt on anything he wants now.
But now you never worked out like your sister, Miss Titty.
No, sir, but I've done some hard work before my sister done hard work.
Well,
I used to work in field.
What would you call the hard work you've done?
Hoeing cotton, replanting corn, replanting peanuts. Hoeing it all. I done that in my younger days. And I done some of it after I reckon I got up in middle age, too.
Yeah.
I've hoed many a row of corn and replanted. Hoed many a row of peanuts replanted. And I've hoed several acres of cotton before they stopped us from planting cotton. We used to plant cotton on that place.
Uh-huh.
And I'd help my husband plant the cane. And I'd help my husband hoe the cane. And if we had sweet potatoes to put out, well, my fingers was right there. But as the children began to come along, my health began to fail. And had quit. When I was Margaret was a baby, I raised all my children on the breast. I didn't give them no bottles. I'm sorry. And Frankie was about the puniest one of the children. Well, that kind of kept me at the house, you see. I didn't work in the field much.
Yeah.
And he had a terrible bad spell right after his grandfather Dixon died. and my father. He had heart trouble too. And I've got a heart complaint, I reckon.
I never thought that.
If that person with heart trouble is not supposed to have salt. But boy, I sure eat salt before. I used to take it in a Castore bottle for the bite for babies, Castore, you know.
Yeah.
And well, it'd be about that wide, about that high, and about that thick through.
Yeah.
I put salt, black pepper, and water, and taking it out in my playhouse, and whenever I wanted anything to drink, I drank the salt water and black pepper.
Just drank it.
Drank it. And I had taken it.
And licked it out of your hand.
That's why I say I had my share, I reckon.
Well, now, let me tell you, I've had salt. You know, in the Army, we used to take some salt tablets to keep you from sweating so bad. But pepper... I don't know anything that I like better than pepper. Anything you eat it with or put it on, it makes it taste better, Miss Judy.
Like the green peppers. Oh, I was crazy about that. Well, I can have peppers yet, but I can't have nothing like that.
I noticed Faye.
Can't have pickled peppers, pickles, anything like that. I don't know why, for the...
Yeah, I wonder what that is.
I don't know. Yeah, there's something else I'd put in my water, too.
Yeah.
Vinegar, water, black pepper, and salt.
Oh, yeah, vinegar. You forgot that. Yeah.
But I guess it didn't affect me then, but maybe it's telling on me now.
No, I tell you, I think a fella just has to sort of taper off as he goes along, and he can't, not quite as free as he was.
But you can't have the table salt. I can't.
Yeah.
I'm going to have this in little bottles about that hang.
Yeah.
Shake it out like you're shaking pepper or shaking salt.
You know, I
eat a bait of fish for dinner today. Yeah. Boy, them things were good. Margaret took them. She didn't salt them when she cooked them. And of course, I had to shake the salt to them, and she cooked grits, and she didn't put no salt in the grits.
Yeah.
So I salted my grits. Frank is taking his grits out. He says, says he has sure taste grits. Says he's a sure green tasting grits and raw green tasting grits. I told her to let the grits cook good and then take mine out and then put salt in.
Yeah.
Put a little more water and salt there, but she
didn't
put no salt. I think she's afraid she'd get them too salt.
Yeah.
By putting it in last. But a lot of cooks, they wait till they get everything done. Then they put the salt, pepper, anything like that. But now I can't eat fat meats. And I'm not supposed to eat pork. But Rosalie cooked me one pork chop. But I want to tell you, she trimmed it close to all the fat that was on.
Yeah.
And... And it has a lot of blood rush to your head, you know, make your blood run high. And Margaret's cooked me one or two. And if she leaves any fat, her mama, she says, don't eat that fat. I couldn't get it all off without tearing it up.
I have given to the dog.
I eat some Montana marsh fat. I think it helped my steak, too.
Yeah. You know.
And I'm crazy about steak with a saffron fried good and crisp. That's all the seasoning and taste is, too. Steak is that little bit of fat. But don't get it. And that's the best with pork, too, but I know I had found that out before I ever went to the doctor that it was against me.
Oh,
that's, you know.
You found that out yourself?
Because I eat a bit of pork chops and them cook nice and brown in the fetch, you know, or beef. Maybe the next morning I get up cooking home.
Oh, you mean?
Those went to my head. Went
right off like that?
Go right off to my head. And I told Frankie, and I said, well, I guess I'm going to have to quit eating any kind of meat. She says, why, Mama? I said, well, every time I eat a beef, a pork chop, spare ribs, and I'm crazy about spare ribs. I says, I just feel like I'm going to float off. He said, Mama says, that's too much on your blood. I says, yes, Dr. Chitty, I done found it.
I have done all that. Hoeing cotton and corn and those things, but I don't know that I ever thought of that as hard work. You didn't have the whole field to do yourself, you know.
No, sir, but what you had to do, it had to be done just so.
Yeah.
My father and my husband. I told Frank, I thought Papa was funny enough about his hoeing and picking or anything. He says, well, I want the grass out.
Yeah.
I have worked in the field when I was, well, in between, say, 14 and 20 years old. I'd get so hot sometimes, so I'd say, Papa, I got to have water and I got to get in the shade.
Yeah.
Well, let's get on out. Maybe I'd get to the end. Pass out on them.
Really pass out? Oh, really?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Faint. Mama said, you know when that child says she's got to have water or shade. You better send her on to it and get her the water and let her get to her shape. I don't know, it just growed up with me, you see, from childhood. And I'd have spells. I fainted when I was 7 years old. First time I ever fainted. I remember I was standing up. You remember how they used these old-fashioned farmhouses that have hooks on the inside of the doors. And a staple, you take that hook on the door here, and you put it over on the door facing, and hook it. And if people was too bad around, you'd have a bar to up there, but we just used that. I was standing there one day. I said, I'm going to weigh my doll, Maggie. Mama's name was Maggie, too, you know. And I named my doll Maggie. I said, I'm going to weigh Maggie. I'm going to see how much she weighs. I was standing up there, Mama. Mama said, you know, she kept getting low and low. I said, well, Maggie, I don't know. I can't tell, but I think you must weigh about 5 pounds. Plunk. Right in the floor.
Well, what do you know?
Mama run over there and partly picked me up and drug me to the door. And began to pour cold water on me.
Yeah.
And up there in Georgia, you know, them deep wells, when you go down after a bucket of water, you've got something good to drink.
Yeah.
And she hadn't been there long, brought in a bucket of water. She turned with my face down, you know, and just she just soaked my head and neck back there and rubbed my neck, and she pat my head. And Mom, my hair all wet. I didn't want my hair all wet. And it hung then down here, long yellow. like syrup candy, you know. I used to pull it and make pretty syrup candy, and it hung in curls. And I didn't want my curls wet when Mama washed my head. And all the youngs, you know, I didn't like that head washing too much. Mama said, well, you can't keep your pretty yellow hair if you don't candy-colored hair. And Papa used to call me his candy-head girl. And anything went wrong, and I didn't like it. That's my Papa. And you want to get a fight out of him, say, where's your old man? Where's your Pa? I ain't got no Pa. I don't have a Pa. Well, where's your old man? I don't have no old man. I have a father, or I have a Papa. And stomp my foot as big as a queen. Papa says, now let me tell you something, so-and-so. Don't go any further with her now. You have a fuss on your hand, says, and cause us to have to do something. Mama says, no, says, that's her fighting piece there. I says, Mama, I love you too. Mama always said I was quicker to take up for Papa than I was her.
Yeah.
Says, you love it. Why, she loves her Papa better than she does me, or her father better than she does me. And I says, well, I want people to know that I ain't got no step pa.
Yeah.
I says, a parrot. Not top plate now. I says, step pa is. And as he comes in over where a father or papa's died, Alexis' children had to take step-pa. I said, you step down. And oh, it would tickle him to death to hear me explain these things.
Oh.
8 and 9 years old.
And he would listen to you.
They'd back off. One time, Papa was shaving. One Sunday morning, he worked around, didn't get his shaving done Saturday evening or Saturday night. Got up early Sunday morning, shaved, and some of the neighbors come in to see him, you know. Grabbed Papa and the razor, you know. Oh, yes, we've been wanting to cut your head off of you ever since we've known you.
They're doing that for your benefit.
Aggravate me to see how high that temper would go. You know what I done? I dashed into the kitchen and I got butcher knife. Mom says, what you gonna do? I said, Mama, I'm gonna cut Mr. So-and-so, I can't think of his name, and Mr. So-and-so. They've got my Papa behind the bed and they said, he's gonna cut his head off with his razor. And boy, she had iron. She run. She says, Ed, you'll quit aggravating this young one. So she's coming in there with the butcher knife. I says, and I can't much blame her.
Huh?
Papa says, hey, but get out. And you see, Mama always kept a bed sitting catacombs in the room where you go in either side. So one of them run one way and then run the other way. Says, well, we've got him. Says, you ain't got nothing to do now, Maddie, but to bury him. Boy, I run, and I hear you from nowhere. Hey, you buried too. And I made a slash at my neighbor's. Papa come out and, hey, Pearl, quick. I says, Papa, I'll cut him to pieces. I'll cut him to pieces. And the other fella, he come out and his eyes look at, he says, my God Almighty. He says, that young'un's got a temper, ain't he? Papa says, I've told you boys about aggravating her that way. I'm thinking, iron punch a poker, you know. We just had the iron poker poke fine fireplace. Take that after a man one time.
Oh, really?
I fight for my Papa.
Well, now, you could, you see, they were bigger than you was, and they could, arms was longer and you couldn't get to them. But if you had that poker...
I had that knife, and I mean, I was swiping at that man, too. Him and Mama had poked my hand. I'd have cut somebody.
Now that poker would reach him.
Yeah, I could have punched him in the back or the side of the head. Probably give him a whack on the head.
We used to have that little short poker.
Yeah, but
that
was a little
fireplace. But out in there in the kitchen, you see, where we had the big fireplace. Well, I guess the poker this long, wasn't it?
We didn't have but the one, and it was in the fire room in the bedroom. Mom cooked on the stove, but she has had to cook on the fireplace. That old iron poker, I don't know where it disappeared. I don't know whether they forgot to put it in with the move-ins or not, but I know one thing. I've grabbed it a many a time to defend my daddy. I should have said, Daddy, a papa, a father, I'd went home. Your paw. Yo, man. Boy, I didn't like that. No.
And your mama had the bed, sorry, kitty cornered.
Mm-hmm. Just like this. Take this stove and sit back and go all around it.
Yeah, that's right. And then when she made the bed, she could get to it from either side. Right.
I tell them about how I used to fight for my daddy when the men folks would come in teasing and aggravating me, you know.
Yeah.
About my daddy. They'd say, your pa or your old man. I didn't go for that.
No.
I told my right off, I didn't have no pa. Not no old man.
Well, now, your daddy wasn't high-tempered.
Mama was easy, quiet going, but let me tell you something, brother. When you got that little woman mad, you better go begging Pa just right away.
Oh, you took after her?
I got it both sides.
Have you got a temper?
Nah. Yeah. Oh, my temper when it's not bad now.
Get away from it, you put it back. you get it from both sides.
Yes, sir. But now my mother could take a whole lot. But when she got enough, you either taking what she had to say. There wasn't no curse words or anything.
Yeah.
But brother, she, I don't know which side she'd take you up, but she'd take you up all sides and down the front and the back too. And if it didn't seem satisfying, you'd go home now, you get straightened out.
Well, now that's something. Now that's it, yeah.
And she didn't pick up anything to fight with. Boy, like when I went to picking on my papa, I mean, if I could get anything to get to him with, I'd whang him with it.
Yeah.
I just got that after him.
Yeah. But now your mama, she could take care of herself with that tongue.
And crying.
Yeah.
Crying. More shaming with her talking, you know. Shame them.
Yeah.
And they'd come in, a lot of times they'd come in and Papa wouldn't be home, be off work. Come in to see us, you know. Well, where's that old piece of man of yours, Maddie? Mom would look at him. Be quiet. Mind how you speak. Mind your tone. Why? What's that for? Says, you go to abusing Ed Dixon, says that little Annie Pearl Dixon there will get her share out of you. One time he was shaving, and one Sunday morning, he didn't get in time enough Saturday night to clean up, so he got up early Sunday morning. Well, these two men come, and they seen him shave. One of them wanted to shave his mustache off. So. Papa says, no, I'm not going to shave a mustache off. Says, why? Says, well, I just don't want to disappoint my family that much. And, well, I'll
I'll take you in here. Yeah, so-and-so, let's take him behind the bed and cut his throat, cut his head off. Boy, I stomped my foot and run to the kitchen where Mama was. I knew where she kept Butch and I reached up and put that Butch. I said, what do you want? I said, I'll cut him off, cut him off, cut him off, cut him off, cut him. And she knew she'd better do some running. I just liked the wind, you know. A lot of people call me a little Indian maid because it's so quick to go, you know. So she's got feet on her equal to an Indian. And Mama had to run. And she was stout, but not too stout, and so short dipped, you know. She was hobbling along there. I could see how close she was getting to me, and I darted in. Boy, I just... Mama says, Ed, says, they can't get out from behind them. Quit cutting the fool that way. What's the matter? She said, you see what this young one's got in her hand, says you. Wonder what's the matter if she gets over. I said, I'm going to cut him, going to cut him, cut him. I'm going to cut him. I'm going to cut him dead. And one went down. See, Mama kept her bed sitting with the head catacombed across this way. And you can go all around it, sweep, clean up, and everything you want to. And they got popped behind that bed. Well, I just in love with my papa enough that I couldn't put no confidence in none of them with him out of my sight. And she just got there just in time to catch me by my apron pulling this van. He dodging and just a quacking at him. I said, I'll cut you dead. And the other one, he sneaked out over on that side. And he says, come around here and help. I think one was named Joe and the other was named Jim. I think of the last thing. But anyway, they just delighted in teasing me about my father, you know. They soon found I didn't do no good to pick on my daddy. Because I didn't take joking and teasing that way. No, you talk about cutting my daddy's throat, cutting his head off. Said, come on, son, let's go. And Maddie come and find what she's going to have to bury. You didn't know I was standing there. Mama said my eyes were like two blue marbles, and there was just a hurt on this way, and my teeth were just a grit. I said, I'll cut you dead. He was...
Well, you knew.
And I just kept that knife going this way. He couldn't get hold of my hand, couldn't get hold of me. Mama got over and said, come on back in. She said, you get out of here. And now, I said, don't stop denying you. Oh, man, I was so mad. There's a stomping up and down.
And they were just baiting her, hey?
Yeah. Just
picking it.
Picking.
Aggravating.
Why, they'd get more fun of doing that than they would anything else.
Why, sure.
But if Mama hadn't got there when she did, one of them might have got a cut on him somewhere. And the old fella, he come around, just, Mama says his eyes looked like they were bruised. He says, Ed, come on out here. Come on out here. Stop this young. Great God Almighty, what's she? Papa says, told you boys not to bother with me with anything like that. Says, now I've told you. Says, she'll fight for me till she drops dead. And I have taken the old fire poker after them sometimes.
Yeah.
I whack at them and they charge around this way. Find out to them. And I says, if that's all you come here first to pick on my papa and aggravate me, you need to come no more. I said, that's brilliant. Papa says, let her alone. And these men, and they said, oh, Maggie, now there ain't no use to call her down. Says, you see, we're doing. I says, well, I know what you're going to say. It ain't no fun to me.
Now, you've seen your mama pretty well excited, too.
My mother see me get so excited until she'd get excited. I've seen her burst out and cry.
Oh, really?
Because I aggravated me so, you know.
Oh.
And along then, my hair was long curls, and it was candy colored, shirt candy, you know, where you pulled it to a shirt candy, to candy hair color. And it hung in big long curls.
Yeah.
Soon as she got through with her breakfast, everything going, she'd get combed, get brushed, she'd comb and fix my hair. Well, my clean clothes and all that. Of course, I could put my clothes on, but I couldn't curl my hair. She'd take that comb and she'd catch it up in my hair, you know, and tear it up, pull it off, and that curl would fall down. And one of them one time says, Ed says, I'm going to cut one of these curls off of this kid's head. I turned around. I says, you don't cut none of my candy curls. I says, that belongs to my papa, too. He calls me his candy curl girl, candy head girl. And they all liked about that, you know. I don't know about what I was doing, something in the house. I was little, but I was old enough to know how to take those things and do. But I didn't get too far away from my papa whenever there was any man hooks. And my ears was just like a deer's. Everything. This boy I began to look.
You could pick it up.
And I'd pick it up, and I'd be looking for something to pick up to put on them.
Yeah.
And I had little, Papa made me a homemade chair. And I wouldn't, at that time, wouldn't have taken $1 million for it. Papa made it.
Yeah.
He was good at that kind of work. He was carpenter and most any kind of work he went at. He was good at farming and everything else. But after we got out on the farm, people never aggravated me much. Not around the field, no. Because if I had a hoe or a rake or anything like that, they know you better not start no foolishness. I told them down too.
Yeah.
But I never did kill anybody. I never did skin anybody out. But I've had two or three to think that I was going to maul them up and cut them up, too.
you established your reputation. Sometimes that saves you a lot of trouble once you get your reputation.
We could hear maybe a stranger would come in and get to talking, you know, and don't go to making threats to Ed, what you're going to do to him or what you do to him. So that kid over there says, you have to watch her like a bad yard dog.
Yeah.
Says she'll fight for her father.
Uncle Jimmy, he shot hawks.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pretty good at that. I didn't know that until just the last time I was out at your house.
He used to kill every hawk that come in sight, most. Didn't have but one eye either.
Yeah.
Well, he'd get out and he'd get that gun up, make him boom. The hawk would drop. And if he missed, it'd make him so mad till he almost cry.
Yeah.
Well, they were eating up chickens and ganders and things we had. And the birds.
Well, I didn't know a fella could get close enough to those old wild hawks to shoot them. What did he shoot with? Shotgun?
Yes, he used shotgun, but mostly big bird shot. Not a buck shot, but big bird shot.
Well, he must have had some way of getting up to him.
Well, he'd sneak around and find out where they were about to light at, you see. He'd get out, you know, pecan trees around the house that he'd get out. Where'd he go? He little down on that tree right over there. Or he's still sailing around, Uncle Jim or Jim. Well, just be quiet. Wouldn't be long before you hear him say, boom. Come to the, bring Hope to the house. Well, he won't eat no more chickens. And little biggies.
Yeah.
And birds.
Yeah.
Well, did you get him, Jim? Your dad about using dead talk, you know. Hell no.
Yeah.
Hell no, I didn't get the damn thing.
Oh, he's a little peppery too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know them chicken hawks.
They say it's against the law to kill them now.
You ever see them now?
Hardly ever see one. Hear one once in a while, but I can't see.
Yeah. Well, you haven't.
And before I lost my own teeth. These bottom teeth down here, I get out, I'd fool them a lot of times. I get outside and whistle like a hawk, you know, make a noise just like a hawk.
Oh, really?
Jim said, where's my gun? Where's my gun? They'd all look like, they'd say, that's Mama, Uncle Jim. I ain't no
He must have been a lively member of your family there for a long time.
Jim was a lively man, and he was a good man, and he was a wicked man.
Well,
he could get so mad with anybody today that he almost killed him. And tomorrow they'd come around, he would just be just as friendly as you'd want to see. But don't let nobody tell him so-and-so was driving up hogs and it looked like one of yours, Jim, or it looked like one of yours, Uncle Jim, or Mr. Jim. And when they say Mr. Chitty, they didn't know which one they was talking to, Frank or Jim, because they called them by their names, you know. He said, well, you just let me get my so-and-so gun, and I'll get out there, and I'll put a quiet ease or something about this stealing my hogs. And he used to have big bunches, 3 or 4 sows, 15, 16 pigs, you know, running around with them. But after things got like they did, no fence law and all this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Had to get them in a close place. He come in one day. He said, sit. He said, you see anybody trunking around down there around that hog pen? I says, no, Jim, I haven't. Why? He says, well, one of my shoats gone. He says, and I can't see where he got out at. No, I haven't even heard anything. The dogs didn't even bark. He says, well, he says, I don't know. He says, but if I find another one missing, I'm going to let my other work go, and I'll set up a tree up there. Says, the first one comes along, I'll ask him what he wants. A load of buckshot or a pig. You didn't have to get up the tree to find out who was getting the hogs. I told him that message was very low spoken. Nobody, I didn't think anybody but me and him heard it, but I said, the wind must have carried it. He said, oh, the devil, you all the time studying up something. I said, well, I've watched, and you've watched, but there didn't any more hogs missed. Something must have happened. They must have had an idea he had what he was going to do, and they'd better stay away.
Yeah.
And the show didn't come on about that high. Yeah. Almost for a nice size to put it on seed and set them up, sell them, or kill them.
Yeah.
It's all gone. It's way out.
You know, my recollection is that we seemed like out there where we was, we sometimes just counted on losing a few like that.
Yes.
In spite of everything. Mm. We just figured that we're going to lose them. Now, you know...
Well, you see, they mark the hogs.
Yeah.
And if they seen this mark somebody else's bunch, they ask them, well, where'd you get that? I didn't send you that hog. Well, of course, they go to making excuses. He says, no, Jim ain't sold you no hogs like that. Says, his mark's one, mine's another. Says, and that looks like one of my shoots. And says, well, so-and-so sold it to me for $25.
Yeah.
Frank says, well, I ain't got no $25 to give you back for the hog. Says, but if you got $25, if you sold a hog to the other fella for $25, you tell him to take this hog and put it back in my pasture, or give me $25 for it, and I'll sell it to him, then he can come sell it to you.
So they would look around.
Well, if they, oh yes, so they'd get out and get hunting for a hog, maybe be out, miss it, you know, yeah, sure. Back over there, so-and-so's bunch of hogs. Said, well, I don't remember selling you a hog like that. No, you didn't, Mr. Chief. Well, where'd you get? So-and-so sold it to me. Uh-huh. So that's where my show's going. They pick them up, sell them to somebody else, get the money, and I get nothing out of them. He says, well, whoever sold it to you, tell him not to come around bothering my hogs anymore.
Now, Uncle Jim didn't have much trouble with that once he...
Whenever he told them what was what, they'd better... The little boy says, they'd pick it up and trot.
Oh, man, yeah. Oh, I tell you, we are so proud that you all have got settled. You better shape you was caught with, aren't you?
No, sir.
Well, that first day, the last day you was over here, wasn't feeling good at all then.
I was sick then.
But you don't feel bad now. You just couldn't.
I feel bad a whole lot. I can't gain no strength.
Yeah.
And I can't do nothing. Marjorie has it all to do and sit there. I want to get out and walk around, but I'm afraid to get too far off. Afraid it might fall.
Yeah.
And I just sit around under
yeah.
the fan pretty much all the time, unless the wind's coming in some of the windows.
Yeah. Well, you know what we're going to have to do. This girl comes out here, Suzanne, we told her about that game you all played, and she just dying to play it with you. And she'd make a good player, because... You know, I'm not very good at figures, but she could just see all them figures, just like you and Aunt Rose and Leah. It was amazing to me how you all could see all those figures.
Well, whatever we called for, if the other one didn't have it, we'd go to something else.
Yes. Yes. Now, you got four suits.
Hmm.
Or three.
It's three.
Three
it's
suits.
A book. Now, I cared for one. I'm going to say this one, and this one, and this one. There's three of them. They're alike.
Yeah.
Three numbers alike.
Yeah.
From 1 to 100.
Yeah.
Every one of three of them. You get 3 100s. Uh-huh. And whoever gets 2 100s, he's got to have a book.
Yes.
And the other that's got that one's got to come across.
Got to come across. Yes. So it don't do any good to just hide it, does it?
Mm-hmm. No, it runs a game. Or any other number. And they're getting so old and thin, so a lot of times the thin one sticks together and we don't notice it. I'll do it. Rosalie will do it. Margaret will do it. Or me and Margaret play.
Yeah.
They'll stick up that way.
Okay. Come here just a minute. Hi, Quitty Sane. Oh, I do like you. Yeah. He didn't come the last time, did he?
No, sir.
Well, you
we taken her out last night with us in the new buggy. Put her back there in the back of the bed. I thought she'd like it back there. No,
yeah.
Right over on the back seat.
Yeah.
Back down in, she come in on.
Now, see, I don't know what they gonna do, and I don't know what Miss Titty wants to do. Now, she's, it was when they drove up, it was so hot out there.
Well, it's still so hot, and you know what, Miss Titty?
He's wanting me to tell him about them card numbers.
Well, let me tell you, Betty Ann is on the horse.
Who?
Betty Ann, and she's having the best time that ever was. She's on Hubie, on the horse.
Can you see
her? Yeah. And so, it's real, real sticky hot out there. And,
Yeah, I see her.
You see her?
I've seen
and
the horse,
doing,
and then I've seen her.
She's doing real well.
It's the end of Channel 1-2, right? And a continuation of the visit with Miss Chitty in the kitchen this Sunday afternoon, the 8th of August, 1971. This is the end of Channel 2, right? And a continuation of the visit with Miss Chitty this Sunday afternoon, 8th of August, 1971. This is the end of Channel 2, right? And the end of the visit with Miss Chitty this Sunday afternoon, the 8th of August, 1971. Channel 2, right? The end of Channel 2, right, and a continuation of the visit with Miss Chitty this Sunday afternoon, the 8th of August, 1971. Channel 2, right, and a continuation of the visit with Miss Chitty this Sunday afternoon, the 8th of August, 1971.